Welcome to the Poultry Health Today podcast, where we talk all health, all the time. Hear engaging interviews with today's leading industry experts. Hosted by Poultry Health Today editors, podcast episodes highlight the latest ideas, insights, and advice to improve poultry health, welfare, performance, and food safety.
Hi, I'm Caroline Stocks with Poultry Health Today, and we're speaking with John Brown, who's a technical service veterinarian with Zoetis. John, thanks so much for joining us today.
Sure, no problem.
Now, cage-free production is coming more and more under the spotlight, particularly as so many retailers are now pushing forward to cage-free egg production. Can you fill us in a little bit on how the industry is getting on with meeting the demand?
They're moving in that direction, probably a little slower than what the egg marketers would probably like, but it's a big investment. It's a big economic investment. So they're moving pretty good. There's a lot of houses going in with cage free.
Moving on then to some of the kind of more practical production issues for the farmers that have made that change and have put in those new sheds. What are the practical issues and where do the problems lie?
The biggest thing is making sure that you grow the birds in the same type environment that they're going to. In other words, you don't want to grow a bird in a cage operation and then take them to a cage free because they won't know how. Training them to find feed, find water, when in the past it's been right in front of them, it's difficult. It takes time. It takes labor, which is always a challenge in agriculture.
And it sounds like skills. And the skills of the people who are managing the birds is a really big issue there, because you're talking about training the birds.
Absolutely. It's huge. I mean, we were, a lot of people my age and older, you know, are used to started and were working in barns that were on the floor, birds that were on the floor and in those type environments. Then we went to the cages because of disease prevention and intestinal problems related to floor issues, and so we got out of the knowledge base of floor type raising birds, and so now it's a whole new setup, and we're trying to relearn what we knew before.
So in terms of health issues then, the actual practical terms of producing the birds, what kind of problems are farmers running into?
And there's the intestinal issues like coccidiosis, necrotic enteritis, and just malabsorption type issues where they don't absorb nutrients as well. And then you've got the issues with bacterial infections just because of the dust and the extra ammonia potentially that's in the houses.
So what steps are farmers having to take to try and address those problems?
They're having to watched intestinal health, which is something that the broiler guys have done forever. I mean, because they're always on the floor, and we're having to relearn how to use things to control cocci. Most of the producers are using a vaccine, a coccidia vaccine. Some people are relying on management to try and avoid using a cocci vaccine. And then there's others that are using coccidia stats.
Looking at a food health angle and food safety perspective, we're seeing more salmonella in these systems. Why is that?
Well, they have more access to manure, whereas in a cage house, exposure to salmonella is commonly in rodents, and rodents in a cage house will run along the feeders, whereas in a floor house, aviary house, they can run anywhere. So the birds may not pick up the manure on the floor, but they may pick it up, and they're more likely to pick it up in the feeders. So I think that's it. There's more dust. We know salmonella is common in dust, in an environment that has salmonella, then it can be spread in the dust. So you get more situations there.
And are there any serotypes that we're seeing more of, or any different strains?
Kentucky is a very common strain in in layers right now. You still have the typhimuriums, the Kentuckys, and the Enteritidis, although Enteritidis seems to be under better control than it used to be. It's still out there occasionally.
And what are the implications for farmers, for producers seeing more of this salmonella? What are they going to have to do differently to try and address it?
Vaccination and biosecurity are the best. Cleaning and disinfection between flocks, good vaccination program, using both a live and a killed vaccine for salmonella is critical.
So there are a number of challenges here then that farmers are having to deal with. Do you think that there are any tools that they're missing, or is there any areas of research that need to be developed more to help producers?
I would say the layer industry has exceeded the other industries in their ability to control salmonella and the willingness to control salmonella and the steps they've taken. The other industries are learning from the example of the layer industry, but you can always do more research on looking at what strains, why are these strains more prevalent in these birds than these birds. And there's tons of research that can be done.
So looking ahead to the next 5 years, which is when the retailers want to meet their targets, what kind of issues do you think we're still going to be seeing?
We're still going to be seeing the bacterial infections that are commonplace just from dust, air quality issues as well. We got that E. coli vaccine, which helps tremendously from an E. coli standpoint. But, I mean, there's a ton of other bacteria. I mean, we're seeing more of fowl cholera now than we used to see. And the problem with that is it looks, when you go out in the field and you open up birds, in the field, E. coli and fowl cholera look almost virtually identical. So lots of times we get called and said, oh, your E. coli vaccine's not working. We've got an E. coli break. And when you actually tell them to go and culture the birds, it comes back fowl cholera. And I say, okay, so it looks like it, but you've got to do diagnostic work. So we're seeing a lot of those older diseases coming back. I've seen, surprisingly, I've had some calls about erysipelas in chickens, which is something, used to be a turkey, something people saw in turkeys, it's just a new thing that we're seeing.
So it's a case of getting used to a whole host of new things as well as a new production system.
The birds that go free range, the outside birds, after rain, you'll see a blip in mortality, and that's lots of times Campylobacter or spotty liver disease. And the simple way, it's not a simple way, but one of the ways to prevent that is have your pasture areas graded so that the water, you don't have puddles. If you've got puddles, birds drink out of it, they're going to get this Campylobacter. So that's another issue.
Yeah, interesting stuff. All right, John, thanks ever so much for joining us today. I'm Caroline Stocks with Porch Health Today, and I'm going to speak to John Brown, who's a technical service veterinarian with Zoetis.
Thanks for listening to the Poultry Health Today podcast. To get the latest news and interviews delivered to your inbox twice a week, subscribe to our e-newsletter by visiting poultryhealthtoday.com/join.